The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
Good morning. If you don't know who I am, I'm Tim Machemo. I work here at the church. I am the Systems and Communications Director, but I also have the unique privilege of being able to preach to all of y'all a couple times already. It really blesses me every time I get to be up here and preach because I feel like a student, and then when I'm up here, I feel completely unworthy to teach and proclaim the gospel. But this morning, I have a beautiful message that's been really, really working in my heart. Again, I feel like a student that God is really teaching me this. He's humbling me and breaking a lot of idols in my life. And so if you could turn to me to Matthew 6, 19 through 24. This is where we will be for the duration of our sermon this morning. It's a beautiful portion of Scripture, and we're going to be focusing primarily on this. We're going to be really digging deep into this, and so keep open to this passage and really read the words on the page as I'm reading them to you, as I'm explaining them, because I believe in them, that there's life. Pray for me this morning. The more and more I preach, the more I really understand. Whenever Brandon or Mark, who's up here, asks for you to pray for me, because I really depend on your prayers. I can't see the words in the beauty of the gospel. I can't see the truth that is in God's word unless I have the Spirit of God, unless my eyes are opened and God gives me the grace to see the majesty of who he is. And so please pray for me, and as well pray for yourself that you fall more and more in love with God, that you see him more clearly in your lives, and that for this year of 2015, that you grow more and more in godliness. So please, during this time, pray for me, and then I'll pray. Father in heaven, oh, how I want to see your kingdom on this earth. And how often does my heart war against the coming of your kingdom? Father, I pray that during this sermon, that during this time here as we gather, that you bring light to your word, that we see your grace, see you as the aim of our lives, and through that we would put away anything that hinders us. Father, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will be done. So, Father, be with me this morning to encourage your congregation to grow in seeking first the kingdom, to grow in obeying your commands, to grow in laying up treasures in heaven. Father, speak through me this morning and speak to your people. In your name we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon is Two Treasures, Two Kingdoms, Two Masters. And I'm going to be really talking about what our main aim is as Christians, is seeking first the kingdom of God. The subtitle that I wrote for my sermon is Growing in Undivided Devotion in Seeking First the Kingdom of God. And that is my heart for you this morning, is that through hearing this portion of text, that you would grow in seeking first the kingdom of God. So let's turn to the text, Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And in the KJV, it says you cannot serve God and mammon. I love the Lord's Prayer. I love every part of the Lord's Prayer except one part. Every morning, I try to go through the Lord's Prayer as I'm praying with to God. I love, okay, yes, Father, you're my Father in heaven. Yes, holy is your name. Give me today your daily bread. But the part that always gets me is, thy kingdom come, your will be done. And I never really understood why this part of the prayer always gripped me. I always just felt this part of my heart that was not submitting to God as I was praying that prayer. The reason that part of the prayer was so hard for me is because I like having my own kingdom. I like having a kingdom to myself and a part of my life that I can control and be safe and rule, because it gives me an image of my own self-rule. And I knew that every time I prayed, thy kingdom come, your will be done, I was asking God to invade that kingdom. I was asking God to destroy that kingdom. And at the same time, I don't want him to destroy that kingdom. I don't want him to take that area of my life that I can protect and have for my own. For me, that would affect a lot of things. I oftentimes am fearful of what other people think of me. At other times, I'm fearful to be open and honest with other people. And I knew that if I'd pray for his kingdom to come, those areas of my life that I did not want to submit to him, I would have to submit to him. The main goal of the Christian life is pursuing the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. And that's both humbling and encouraging, because God's coming here to restore all things, but at the same time, we're all habitual kingdom makers. We're all habitual self-kingdom makers. We all want an area of our own lives that we can rule and protect and keep to ourselves. But the kingdom of God is also it's so very beautiful and so very encouraging. God commands us to seek first the kingdom of God. He says so in the next portion of scripture in Matthew 6, where he talks about not being anxious about about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. And he ends it with saying, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That is our goal as Christians. And kind of how the kingdom of God works, I've been just beautifully trying to submit my heart to the kingdom of God by studying it. And if you ever want to grow more in understanding the kingdom of God, I would encourage you to read Matthew, because it's a beautiful picture of how the kingdom of God is coming on earth, how the kingdom of heaven is overtaking all of the evil things of this world. I'm growing to understand that there's two realms in the kingdom of God. There's God's realm in which he sovereignly reigns over the entirety of the world, and then there's the aspect of his kingdom in which it's us reciprocating his lordship over us. It's us, the people of God, who are in this first realm of the kingdom, and then there's the expansive kingdom that is all of creation, that may be those who don't submit to him. It is the authorities and the demonic rulers of this world. Everything is in submission to God, truly. But there's a part of the kingdom that is not fully reciprocating that submission to God.
And so the kingdom of God is both present. It's here. There are people here who are submitting to God and living in submission to him and allowing him to rule over their lives. But there's also part of the kingdom that is not there yet. It's the already but not yet, that God is slowly taking over more and more of the realm that is not submitting to him. This is the story of Scripture. This is the redemptive history that we see in the Scriptures. I used to think that the kingdom of God was just this little section of theology that was kind of submitted under the chief theme of Scripture. But really, the kingdom of God is the theme of Scripture. It's that God is coming, that he is slowly taking over more and more of this world, that he is slowly conquering more and more of the kingdoms of this world, that he's going to be here one day. And the way that he works in slowly conquering this world and slowly submitting the things that are rebelling against him is he works through us, that he works through his church, that he works through his people. And in Matthew, in the Sermon of the Mount, he gives us the ethics of the kingdom of God, what it looks like to serve the kingdom of God and to advance it. And here we are to the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew 6, 19 through 24. We see, I think, an important part of the kingdom of God that will greater encourage us to serve it more diligently. I think there's a danger in keeping kingdoms to ourselves. I think there's a danger in not allowing particular areas of our lives to not be in submission to God, and I think the consequences are more grave than what we think. And so in this verse, I hope to follow a line of thinking that shows you that the consequences are more costly in not submitting yourselves to the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to go through a couple dichotomies, three dichotomies. There's two treasures, there's two kingdoms, and there's two masters. First, the two treasures that we see are treasures on earth and treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, if you could look to the text with me. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where the thief do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So here we see two commands. If you could look there for me, with me. Two commands. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And the other is lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. And it seems fairly simple. And I think the first thing that we go to think of is, okay, that means I shouldn't save up money. I shouldn't have tons of things. But that's not what the scripture is saying here. What it's saying here is that we are not to store up things for ourselves that will be destroyed. I think 1 Timothy 6 better explains it for us. It says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, but to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." God is not against us having things. He's not. He's for us being part of this world and using things to advance his kingdom. What he's against is us setting our hope on what is uncertain, what can be stolen, what can deteriorate. But he wants us to set our hope on God, which never perishes. He continues on to say in 1 Timothy, "We are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take a hold of that which is truly life." And so our laying up for ourselves, not treasures on earth, looks like not setting our hope on what is uncertain, not setting our hope on what God's going to one day destroy. And our laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven looks like good works. In the parallel account of the Sermon on the Mount in Luke 12, Jesus says this, "Sell your possessions and give to your needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God's desire is that the way that we bring this kingdom here, the kingdom of heaven to this earth, is that we be rich in good works. Because good works show, like Robert was saying, that we're provided for everything in heaven, that everything is given to us in the heavenly places. Therefore, we don't need anything of this earth. That freely we've been given, therefore, freely we can give. That Jesus became poor so that we may become rich with blessings in heaven. God is not against the world. In fact, he wants to redeem it. In fact, he even says, Jesus says in his high priestly prayer, I ask not to take them out of the world. Jesus doesn't want us to just despise everything from this world. But he wants us not to worship the world. He doesn't want us to value it. And our value is found where we store things. Again, this is where why it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Where our storehouse is, wherever we build up our treasures, whenever we do something or act a particular way and think in our hearts and our minds, what is this storing up for me? That shows where our heart is. And so the first thing that we must realize between these two treasures is that whatever you treasure will reveal the condition of your heart. Wherever your storehouse is, wherever you place your trust, that's ultimately where your heart will go. And so now we advance to the two kingdoms, a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. Just as whatever you treasure will reveal the condition of your heart, just as well, the condition of your heart, wherever your heart is, that will determine what kingdom you are seeking and what kingdom you're advancing. In Matthew 6, 22 through 23, if we could look there again, it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of life. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Whenever I would read the Sermon on the Mount, this part is always so confusing because it seems to just kind of jump up in the middle of this statement that would make more sense. It'd almost make more sense for Jesus just to say, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not on earth, for where your heart is, that's wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. No one can serve two masters, and that would make more sense. But I think there's a progression of thought here that is extremely important in understanding and advancing the kingdom of God. There are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. And wherever your heart is determines what part or which kingdom you are in. When this portion of scripture is talking about the eye, it's talking about our hearts. Just in the same way that the eye is the lamp of the body, the way that we do anything is because we can see. The only way that I can walk and touch things and interact with the world and pick up things do anything is because I can see. But once the lights go out, once I'm blind, my whole body is dark. I can't do anything. I have to feel around and I'll stumble. So what this portion of scripture is telling us is that our heart is the lamp of what we do. Wherever our heart is, that's who we will serve. That's whatever kingdom we will advance. Ultimately, wherever your heart is, that will determine that the way that you live your life. It'll determine the actions that you do. If your treasures are on earth, you will serve the kingdom of darkness. And if your treasure is in heaven, you will serve the kingdom of light. And the way that you serve the kingdom of light is this. Those who serve the kingdom of light see. That's how you serve the kingdom of light. You see. Isaiah 42:6-7 says, I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisoners who sit in darkness. Acts 26:17-18, Paul says to King Agrippa, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The way that we serve the kingdom of light, the way that we serve the kingdom of God, is by seeing and savoring God. It is only by the grace of God that we're able to see him and savor him and to love him. And that is a testimony of God's saving power. But the kingdom of darkness, the way that the kingdom of darkness is served, is by being blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The kingdom of darkness is a kingdom of blind people. And if your heart, if your eye is darkened, your whole body will be dark. The kingdom of darkness will be advanced by your stumbling. The kingdom of darkness will be advanced by the fact that you're unable to see. Typically, from what I understand, no unbeliever ever really understands the extent of their rebellion. Even if I look back at the times where I've felt distant from God, what I've struggled with not so much was not that I was hateful of God. I wasn't I wasn't aware of the fact that I wanted to rebel against God, but it was more that I was darkened in my understanding. During the times of where I felt far from God is that I couldn't see him, that I couldn't see clearly like I typically can when the gospel is light. And typically whenever the gospel is light and we feel the nearest to God, everything just takes on a new light. Strangers that once you didn't want to talk to, you now want to speak with them and share the gospel with them. Situations in which you typically wanted to just close off became situations now where you want to share the gospel. That's what happens when you are part of the kingdom of the light. But if you're serving the kingdom of darkness, the world becomes darkened, and ultimately you will walk in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, as the eye must be single, clear, and pure in order to keep light in the body, as hand and foot can receive light from no other source save the eye, as the foot stumbles and the hand misses its mark, when the eye is dim, as the whole body is in darkness when the eye is blind, so the follower of Christ is in the light only so long as he looks simply to Christ and at nothing else in the world. Thus, the heart of a disciple must be set upon Christ alone. The eye sees an object which is not there, the whole body is deceived. If the heart is devoted to the mirage of the world, to the creature, instead of the creator, the disciple is lost. We are lost when we don't set our eyes on Christ. We are lost when we don't see him. But we are found and we are serving the kingdom of light whenever we see Christ and we savor him. But we can only see him whenever we set ourselves to store up treasures in heaven instead of treasures on earth. Lastly, there are two masters. There's God as master, and there's mammon as master. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And as the KJV says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Ultimately, whichever kingdom you are seeking, if you're seeking the kingdom of light or you're seeking the kingdom of darkness, ultimately will submit you whoever is the master of that kingdom. I think this was the hardest truth for me, because oftentimes I find that whenever I protect that particular area of my life that I don't want God invading, the kingdom of myself, I often don't feel like there's going to be that bad of a consequence. But the truth is there is no kingdom of self. There is no kingdom of you. That doesn't exist. Either you will serve God or you will serve mammon. Now, mammon, in the Greek text, the word for money is mammonas. And throughout medieval history, mammonas was called mammon, and he was personified as this demonic deity. And so I use the word mammon because I think that it places more stress on who you're serving. It looks different when you're serving, when you say that you're serving money or wealth, than when you say that you're serving Satan. It sounds different. It places a more weightiness to what you're doing. And I think that we often don't understand the weightiness of who we're serving. Here's the truth. If you lay up treasures on this earth, you will serve the kingdom of darkness. And if you serve the kingdom of darkness, you will be a slave to mammon. There are only two options. All of us are meant to be servants. There is no way that we can have dominion in this world except in submission to God. That is the only way that we can have dominion in this world. It's meant to be in submission to God. But when we rebel against him, when we try to gain a dominion that is outside of God, we ourselves will be dominated. We'll be dominated by mammon, by Satan. The scriptures tell us, John 8:34, truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. James 4:4, and I just lost it. Sorry, let's go to Romans 6:16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? And I want to read James 4:4 real quick, because I think that's beautiful and frightening. James 4:4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? We cannot be friends with the world. There is no kingdom of you. And I used to get so much comfort in that. Like, I used to think that I could just protect this little kingdom. I could just have this little bit of time to myself. It wasn't always, just because it's not money doesn't mean that it's not a kingdom of you. It's anything. It could be time. It can be your family. It can be your control. It can be your title, your position, your success, what people think of you. And I used to keep this little area of my life that I thought, I could just have this little bit of time to myself. It won't affect the kingdom of God. I'm home. I can have a little bit of time to just watch this show, or I could be selfish today. I can not talk to that person over there that I see has no one to talk to. I can choose not to minister to this person that I know probably needs to hear the gospel. It's okay. I can have a little bit of me time. There is no you time. You're either serving the kingdom of light or you're serving the kingdom of darkness. You're either a slave to mammon or you're a slave to God. And when you are a slave to mammon, ultimately he will destroy you. Satan's goal is to prowl around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can destroy. He wants to destroy you. He's not going to let you live. He's going to destroy you. And Satan is very, very deceitful too. Often the way he works is that he often masks himself and then reveals a treasure, an earthly treasure, and lures you towards it. And the more and more you enjoy that earthly treasure, the more you are consumed by him, and eventually you realize that you're serving death. But the way that the way that God works, is completely different. God often, when he reveals himself, masks the treasure. He masks his kingdom, but reveals himself. It's typically how he works. He shows him his beauty and his majesty so that we may follow him and him alone and not the treasures. I am so very hopeful and so very humbled by the fact that God pursues me and that he chases after me and that he wants my full heart. And oftentimes whenever I'm growing in the gospel and I'm growing in understanding God, it doesn't feel so much like I'm conquering, that I'm growing in my kingdom, that I'm growing in being more holy. It actually feels more like I'm being conquered. It feels like more like I'm being dominated, but I'm not being dominated by the enemy. I'm being dominated by God, that he's invading this kingdom that I'm trying to protect. That is what is so beautiful about the kingdom of God, that even though we may try to establish our own kingdoms, and even though we may try to establish our own areas of our lives that we may try to protect, God, his kingdom is coming. His kingdom is invasive. He is going to have you. He's going to have you. His kingdom is going to come. And that's why we were commanded to not put our hope in the uncertainty of riches. That's why we are commanded to put our hope not in what's going to perish, because it's going to perish. It's going to be gone. God's kingdom is going to come. And he's going to defeat Satan. And he's going to defeat the domain of darkness. And he's going to burn up all of your treasures that are on this earth. And so, my warning for you is that, just as Jesus says, do not lay up for your treasures. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Because they're going to be destroyed. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Oh, how many treasures. Oh, the sweet blessings that we'll find in heaven, that we'll have for an eternity. Do you not understand that the blessings that you build up in heaven, the treasures that you store up in heaven, will last forever? That they will never fade nor wane? How blind do we become sometimes when we try to keep areas of our lives here on this earth for ourselves when they're going to be destroyed. We should give all freely because we will be given and be storing up much more treasures in heaven. My prayer for you today is that you would grow in undivided devotion in seeking first the kingdom of God. It's so very hard. It takes the light of the gospel to see it. And you won't always see all of the areas of your life that you're not submitting to him. You never will. So I can't put my hope in the fact that I'm going to see every area of my life perfectly and submit to him. My hope isn't found in my finding each area of my life and the fact that I'm able to give it to him. But my hope is found that as God more and more invades this kingdom, as he invades this world, as he invades my life more and more and conquers me more and more, my prayer is that I surrender it to him, not by my strength, but by his strength and by his grace. Because one day, oh goodness, how beautiful it's going to be, one day when this entire world is ruled by the perfect king, and all of our treasures will be heavenly treasures, and all of our treasures will be found in Christ. That's my prayer for you. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we are so prone to be self-protective. I'm prone to be self-protective. Father, help us to want to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Help us to seek first your kingdom and to see it reign on this earth. Father, even in the midst of me not painting your kingdom perfectly, even in the midst of our inability at times to see it perfectly, I pray that you show it to us. Oh God, as we read your word, let us see that there is a kingdom that is not of this world, that there's a kingdom that is coming. And let us not be found on that day as unworthy servants. But let us be found as people who found our treasures in eternity. Father, this year, 2015, we want to see your kingdom come through our giving, through our evangelizing, through our discipling, through our humble repentance. Oh, Father, help us to actively seek to see your kingdom on this earth and not to find our treasures in what is worldly and what will perish, but to find our treasures in what is in heaven. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And let it, or help us, to place on the altar whatever you ask of us. Your kingdom, your glory is more precious than anything that we can find on this earth. Help us to see that. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Acts Church, please visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingactschurch.